Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Shari. It's February the 8th. Yeah, we're approaching Tu B'Shvat, of course, on Shabbos Kodesh, also Erev the predicted snowstorm. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom. May she continue to be a Melitz Yashar for our entire family, Klal Yisrael, and our Chabura, as we continue to grow in our Avodas Hashem. Before we even get to the Sefer, I want to share something with you that Esther Sassoon shared with me that I printed up, and she gave me permission to tell over. Not only did she give me permission, but it was published online. So this is not a secret because, again, I had seen the video myself. Okay, so Esther started with, I thought, okay. We spent about 2 months talking about the Koach HaDibur, and that the speech is what uncovers the soul. Right. Gentle speech is speech of the soul. Harsh speech is speech of the guf. And within the soul, the Mechaber even said an unbelievable principle. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty, is within the soul. There's three layers. There's the body, the total externality. There's the soul, the next layer. And if you uncover the soul, there is the Ribbono Shel Olam on some level, very, very deep level. So Esther emailed me last week, and she said, I thought you might appreciate the Dvar Torah included here because it is related to what we have been discussing regarding speaking gently. This came from the director of Darkenu, the program my son attends in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, while in Mea Sha'arim tonight, they were with the group of boys were in with soldiers in uniform. They were harassed by certain people. Given that there are a number of Down syndrome men in the program, their behavior is even more disgraceful. Have a good Shabbos. And then, have a good Shabbos. And then she included what Darkenu sent out, which again was published on a couple of online sites. Dear parents, so I'm quoting from the director. We are so proud of our program, our students, and our staff. Much thought and hard work goes into planning and implementation of our programs, the regular aspects as well as the special programs. Our madrichim, in particular, represent the fulfillment of our daily prayer to be counted amongst lilmod ulalamed, to learn, to teach, lishmor, to keep the mitzvos, lasos, to do. Our madrichim maintain daily learning siddurim in the Beit Midrash. They teach Torah to our students weekly. They serve as role models of the highest caliber in their mitzvah observance. Tonight we had the distinct honor of supporting and paying tribute to Darkenu former Madrich Label Nebensal. By the way, is it related to Rav Nebensal, Shlita?
I don't know. It could be. I don't know for sure.
As we attended his Tekes Hashba'ah, his swearing-in ceremony as a paratrooper, which takes place at the Kotel in the IDF, the ceremony was held at our most precious spot, the Kotel HaMaravi. While the significance of this spot needs no explanation, the message of the ceremony is clear, taking place at the Kotel. Am Yisrael exist and thrive along with their army in Eretz Yisrael only because of Torah Yisrael. Each soldier is granted a Tanakh upon completion of basic training. After tonight's meaningful ceremony, at which were present Assistant Director Platoon, the group headed to town to enjoy dinner and to celebrate. As your son may tell you, the director wrote, the sight of our group of soldiers in Mea Sha'arim elicited a loud and aggressive response from individuals, it's very well worded, who are tragically uncomfortable with and intolerant of those who represent the complexity and multifaceted nature of life, of Torah adherence, coupled with national service. The boys and our soldiers were safely escorted out of the crowd. And there was an online video that I saw. I don't know if anybody saw it from last Thursday night. It was a video of a group being harassed in Mea Sha'arim and needed to be taken to safety by the police. We are on our way home, safely escorted out. We stress to the boys the primacy of humility. But this is why I'm bringing this to you. In our Avodas Hashem, I'll take this opportunity to share it here as well. The Navi tells Klal Yisrael, Lo bira'ash Hashem, God is not found or experienced amid loud tumult, but rather called the Mama Daka, in the soft, still sound, in the voice. It's that soft, still voice that conveys godliness. That's exactly what we've been learning about for 2 months here. The Gemara Maseches Brachos quotes Rav Sheshes, who explains the same is true about our experiences with the masses. When people act more like the tumultuous noise, there is no greatness nearby. The individuals who engaged in rude, loud protest are expressing the very antithesis of godliness, and we would be better off to pray that they learn to acknowledge and experience the exaltedness of Kol Demama Daka, because that is what is inherent in everything truly great. Their efforts to cause division should help us realize unity that elicits such strong protest in a feeble and ineffective attempt to break it up. And then he ends very nicely. I personally lived in Meir Shearim for 4 years. I can attest to the unique, sweet humility found in the vast majority of locals. There's some of the rabble rousers, etc. Most of them are warm, humble, respectful, and grateful to our men and women in green. And then he signs off. After this pleasant experience, all the best. But I thought it was so beautiful because it's an unfortunate learning example that reinforces so much of what we've been speaking about, that Kosh Baruch Hu is found. And that's what the Mechaber says. Hashem is found in the soul. And the expression of the soul is quiet speech. And it's that called the Mama Daka. In regard to the disunity, it's very, very troubling. It's not the focus of our class. But when we're coming, it is, I guess, because we're coming up to next week, Parashas Yisro. And the Pasuk famously says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar, and Israel camped opposite the mountain. When it came time to receive the Torah, the verse tells us that Israel camped opposite the mountain. It's written in the singular, not in the plural. And Rashi famously says, you're like talking about over 2 million people. One person camps, not one person. But as Rashi say, Ki Ish Achad, believe Achad, one man with one heart, all other encampments were with division and disunity. We want to receive the Torah and become a vessel and a vehicle for Hashar Sashrina, the resting of the divine presence. This unity is not the way to go. You look like you want to say
something. Yeah. In the chicken soup and Muna. Mm. So she was teaching in Rabak, and she was bringing a time when the Haredim were like,
there was batting heads.
And you know, she said, I'm obviously a great woman. And she walks in, the women were asking her. And she handled it very well. She said, we can't judge the few. It made a big difference to me, because I get a newsletter, Shabbat Shalom from Cyberspace, from Rabbi Beebe in Atlantic Beach. And he
Rabbi who?
Rabbi Beebe, David Beebe.
In where?
I think he's in Atlantic Beach or Long Beach.
Atlantic Beach?
He lives in Atlantic Beach. I don't know where
he lives in Atlantic Beach.
And he also, some friends of his were in Meir Shearim, a boy in his army uniform, I can't get uniform, and they were also accosted. And there was a big Talmud Chacham and his son and other people. And they were devastated. It really bothered them. So I wanted to send
Just in regard to the disunity last week, so I saw this online, and Esther sent to me, I don't know if anybody saw that Amona was evacuated. I don't know anything about the politics. They say it's Arab land. That's not the point. But what are we doing? We're putting brother against brother. Should really be crying. I saw pictures of the Mishtara coming out of the show. They evacuated an illegal settlement, as the government has called it or termed it. I saw a picture of the Mishtar coming out of the shul. He was taken for treatment, like with a whole bloody face. Who did that to him? Other Jews that were in the shul. They barricaded themselves into the shul. They handcuffed themselves. They were throwing, when the police tried to enter, first they tried to enter peacefully, they were throwing crowbars and stones. And then we put brother against brother. Then we come to Mamad Har Sinai, and Hashem says, do you want the Torah? But there's no Vayichan. So Hashem says, you're not ready for this. And it's very frightening. It's very sad. We have so many enemies from without. And it's one thing if we read the news, Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Rafidim. This week's parasha, Amalek comes and they fought with Israel and Rafidim. It's one thing if we have to battle with Amalek, Midar Dar, from generation to generation. But if we're fighting with our own brothers, we're in big trouble.
Where you can learn something from anywhere. I was at a meeting today. It was a big company meeting, and they're trying to, you know, get their employees, a lot of companies are doing this, to get their employees to be more productive and to be, you know, to create a culture. And they kept emphasizing, you know, we can't have disunity. A company that doesn't have unity is a setup for failure. Mm. And it was like this light bulb went off. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like, you can't have Klagiswal without Achdus. Like, it's like running a big company. You can't. It just doesn't. It's antithetical. And it was just a very apropos to what we're discussing. Like,
it's very
sad. It's a sense of failure. Not just out of a mitzvah, a beira, you know, whether it's the right thing from a Torah thing. It's just,
When we talk about the sin is chinam, the baseless hatred that was the cause for the destruction of Bayashini, and the Gemara says, I believe it's Maseches Yoma, page 9, I believe, and the Gemara says there, so the Gemara first says that Bayis Rishon was destroyed. It's very famous. Why was the first temple destroyed by the Babylonians? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shahayubo, because of three sins that were present. Gilei Arayos, adultery, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Shvichos Damim, bloodshed. And then the Gemara goes on to bring examples of that proves that each thing, each sin, was prevalent during the time of the first temple period. And then the Gemara says, Bayis Rishon Mipnei Macharav, the second temple, why was it destroyed by the Romans? And the Gemara says, the people were oskim b'torah v'mitzvos gnus chasadim. Look at that. The Gemara says there was a time when the people were involved in Torah and mitzvos and gnus chasadim, acts of loving kindness, b'pnei macharav. So why was it destroyed? The Gemara says, b'pnei shayibo sinas chinim, because the people had baseless hatred for one another. Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died, b'pnei shalo nahagu kavod zeh b'zeh, because they did not have honor for one another. It's very sad. It's a terrible tragedy. And we all have to do our part to rectify baseless hatred with baseless love and try our utmost to respect those who perhaps we don't understand and don't necessarily agree with. And that's different than disrespect, which leads to violence and Lumas Olam, see, they're not Basham, so perfect. So if they're not Basham with each other, what do they want from us? We should be Basham with them. We have to daven and do very much Ishtadas. Okay, so that was on Kolach HaDibur, which I know is in the last week's chapters, but when Esther emailed it to me, I thought it was very appropriate. So let's look at the top of 47, please. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Top of page 47. I still remember, I was so vividly remember, I was much younger, where I was when my father came in. It was Shabbos, it was already dark. I don't know if Shabbos was over. I just remember sitting in a dark kitchen, and he came and he said Rabin had been assassinated. Mm-hmm. I remember as a young child, and obviously it was a different place in my life, but the shock of hearing such a thing. All right, top of page 47. Therefore, okay, we're going to read like one sentence, and then we're going to share something else. Okay? So that was on Dibur, Kalach Dibur. And now we're coming to this chapter is on Amunah. So the top of page 47, the first sentence says, our main work is Amunah, our main work is building faith. Amunah and Bitachon really go hand in hand. If you have Bitachon, trust in God, it leads to Amunah, faith in God. And that's the clear recognition that there is a creator. So this relates to, I said we're going to go one sentence, we're going to half a sentence, relates to a very strong pasuk in our parsha, and of course this week's parsha is Bishalach, we mentioned the Yisra next week, this week's parsha is Bishalach, Atikach Mirim Hanaviyah Achos Aaron Hatov Biyada, Atetzena Kol Anashim Echare B'tupim U'mimicholos, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out with her with songs and dances. So we're talking about Az Yashir, of course, Az Yashir was the song that the men sang. I have to say a correction. Last week I quoted of Elimelech Biederman, who says that Oz 1 plus 7 is 8, is Lamal Minateva. I made a mistake. It's Rav Moshe Tursky, Hashem Yikom Dama. I'm just correcting myself. It's the same Vart, but I quoted the wrong source. So after the men sang, and then the women sang, Shiru Lashem Ki Gaga, sing to God, He is exalted over the exalted. So Rashi, and very profound to us as Jewish women, Rashi says, quoting Chazal, where did the Jewish women have tambourines from? They just left Egypt, you know, in the Tagmot, the tumult and the mayhem and the chaos of leaving Egypt. You know, get the kids, where are the sandals, what are we going to eat on the road? This one's crying, take the stuffed animal, where are the passwords? You know what it's like trying to get out of the house? I feel like I need therapy if I ever have to leave the house with my family. It's so stressful. Somebody said, take tambourines, they left Egypt 7 days ago. You have musical instruments, you take the piano when you go on a trip. So Rashi says, where did these women have tambourines from? And what does Rashi call them? Tzidkani Yoshev Oso Adar. Muvtachos Hayu. What is Muvtachot? Muvtachos? Bitachon. They had such bitachon. These Tzidkaniyo Sheba Oso Hadar of that generation, Shakosh Baruch Hu Ya'asa Lehem Nisim, that Kosh Baruch Hu would do miracles for them, that they took tupim, they took tambourines out of Egypt. The key is their bitachon. They had such faith, such trust, such implicit knowledge of living with God that they believed, Muftachos Hayu Tzidkaniyo Sheba Dar, Shakosh Baruch Hu Oso Lehem Nisim, they had bitachon, the righteous women of that generation, the Almighty would do for them miracles, and they took tambourines out of Egypt. And therefore, imagine the bitachon to foresee what will be. Unbelievable. I'm taking tambourines because I have such trust and faith that I'm going to need them. That's the amunah. It's a clear recognition that the Creator is bound up with my soul. It's clear recognition. It's not maybe will be, maybe won't be. It absolutely will be, which leads to a beautiful insight that Joanna shared with me. Am I saying it right? Yeah. Shared with me last week, which I said she should have sent me a class, but didn't want to. So B'Shem Amra, an insight that relates. We last week mentioned that Avraham Avinu was above nature, right? We quoted Oz Yashir, Oz Yuma Yitzchok Pinu. Klaiso is a nation, says Rav Twersky, that lives above nature. Nature is 7. Above nature is 8. We live above nature. And one of the proofs we gave, I believe you mentioned the Sulam Yaakov, the ladder of Yaakov, but one of the things we spoke about was the covenant between the pieces that occurs back in the book of Bereishis, Bris Bein Habsarim. It says Hashem took Avram outside. He told him, look at the heavens, count the stars. If you can count the stars, so your children will be. Can you count the stars? Have you ever been in the desert night in Israel? It has to be in the desert. It's a sight that is one in a million, pun intended, there's more than a million stars. It's not describable. You know, you look up here, you think, oh, you see a star. We don't even know what the night sky really looks like. To be in the desert and out at night, I'm maybe here too, I don't know, but still can't compare it to it. It's unbelievable. So he said, that's where your children are going to be. That's where your children will be. So we spoke about that last time because one of the pshatim of Rashi is that he took him above the heavens, i.e. Klal Yisrael is above this world. But Joanna shared something beautiful with me. This is actually a tremendous lesson in Amunah because a few psukim later, it says, that's chapter 15, verse 5, okay? Perek Tasvav Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Yud Beis. That was Pasuk Hey. 7 psukim later, Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo. The sun sets and a deep sleep fell on Avram. Eima Hashecha Gadolin Ophels. A deep darkness and fear fell on him. When did Hashem take him outside and tell him to count stars? When I say when, I mean when during the day. If the sun sets 5 psukim later. Ladies?
During the daytime.
During the day. Can you see the stars during the day? It's unbelievable. Thank you. Can you see the stars during the day? So what was God telling him? Go count the stars. That's how your children will be. So what could Avram say to God? There are no stars. This is the promise. This is how my children are going to be. What are you telling me? This is the great promise. So will be your children. I can't see one star. Maybe one. You could see the sun during the day. One star, so your children will be. The sun sets. And then all the stars come out. So it is such a lesson in Amunah Peshuta. We talk about Avram being Tamim, Mishali Chafane Vehei Tamim, Perigitzai Pasuk, Avwak before me be pure. We talk about us being Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim. We are believers, the children of believers. But here's another beautiful instance of Avraham Avinu's deep-seated, foundational Amunah. He was told to count the stars when you can't see the stars. And nevertheless, he believed that promise, but that's how his children will be. So it is the bitachon that is a clear recognition that there is a creator. He is bound up with my soul. He is the source of all that holiness. It's beautiful. Thank you. It's not beautiful? It's unbelievable. Yes?
It's even more beautiful because the stars
even more beautiful.
Are there during the day. You just can't see them.
So therefore?
So your bitachon, you may not be able to see it. But it's Hashem said, this will be like the stars. They're there. You can't see it. But if you believe it's there, you get what I'm saying?
No, so continue. No. I'm trying to ask what you're saying.
I feel gets it. So
What's your Mr. Haskell? What's your lesson?
The lesson is, you may not be able to see the stars, but they're there during the daytime.
Okay,
you
correct.
You can't see them.
Right.
So sometimes you have to wait for the Yeshua to come, but it's there.
The same way that you can't see Hashem, but
right.
You know,
I mean, you believe. Yes, you believe.
So I was going to say the opposite. I thought what you were saying is sometimes you can't see Knesset Yisrael. Sometimes we've sunk to such a low, deep level, like we're on the 49th level of impurity. Rashi says, Parshas Peshach, at this time, right before Kriyas Yamsu, before the splitting of the Reed Sea, so the sages say, Israel was standing in judgment if they should be saved or not be saved. Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Peshach, should God even bother saving us? Because we're on such a low level of impurity. The heavenly angels said, what are you saving them for? They're idol worshippers, just like the Egyptians are idol worshippers, drown everybody in the sea. So I thought you were going to say, sometimes you can't see this. You can't see, sometimes you can't see Hashem. He's comparing the stars to Klal Yisrael. So what's the pshat? Just like sometimes you can't see the stars. Ko yezarecha. So your children will be very nice. Okay, now we got it. Ko yezarecha, so your children will be. What's the pshat? Sometimes your children will be like stars. Very nice. I.e., sometimes you can't see the stars. Sometimes you won't even be able to see Knesset Yisrael. Sometimes it looks like they've all but disappeared. Chas v'shal. That's what it was in Mitzrayim. 4/5 died in Choshech. You know, do the math. 1/5 is 600,000. 4/5, it's millions of Israelites died in Malchus Choshech. That's a lot of people. 1/5 went out. That's a paltry sum of how many Israelites there were. Sometimes you can't see Knesset Yisrael, but wait, because they'll come out. Very nice. Beautiful. Anything else?
Or you can't see the greatness of Knesset
Yisrael. Right, you can't see the greatness.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. Thank you. Rav Salvechik says the same thing about the snare. And he looks and the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed when Moses meets God at the burning bush. It's a very strange bush. It's a thorn bush. Rashi specifically says it's a thorn bush. The interior is burning and the exterior is not burning. The exterior is, oh, the fire doesn't spread. There's different descriptions of what's going on with the burning bush. One of them is the interior is burning, but the exterior is not. So Rav Salvechik explains the same thing. The sun is with Knesset Yisrael, the exterior is very thorny. It doesn't look like the Umma Yisraelis. We're very thorny on the outside, but inside the fire is always burning. All the same idea. Beautiful. Okay, anything else? Okay, so now I'm going to do something I never did before. Wanting something amazing? Susan Friedman's not joining us this evening. That's okay. I hope she'll listen online. But my thanks to her son, Jonathan Friedman. I assume that his mother asked him to send this to me because I quote Rabbi Tzemachas all the time. And he sent me an email saying, a shir my Rebbe gave a few years ago on the man, Parshas Bashach. And who's his Rebbe? Rabbi Mordechai Machlis. So, here we go. Let's have a Dvar Torah on Emunah. Just sent it to me today. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. We're talking about, I guess our class today is based on this one sentence. Our main work in Emunah is the clear recognition there is a creator who is bound with our souls. He is the source of holiness. He is the sustenance of our being. He is life, so therefore we are life. So I was thinking, this Dvar Torah is on the man. Right? These are insights on the man. The first time we meet the heavenly manna, which sustained the people for 40 years in the desert, is in this week's parasha. Right? The people complain. First they don't have water, they complain. Then they don't have food, they complain. Then they don't have water again. Okay, Nebuch, we just left Egypt, we're already complaining. Should I tell you one of my favorite parts on the parasha?
Sure.
But wait, are you subscribed to get my weekly Dvar Torah? Because I wrote it, it's going out tomorrow. So should I tell it to you and you're still going to read
it?
You're not subscribed?
I don't get it.
I don't always have time to read it, so say it anyway.
Yeah, okay, fine. This one you have to read. But you have to sign up.
Yeah, I have to
go on the website, I guess.
I can also do it for you. Okay, this is one of my favorite parts on Parshas Peshach. I didn't say in Parshas. I was saving it for subscription, but since we're talking about not having water and complaining. They don't have water twice in this week's Parsha. Once at Mara, and once in Rephidim. At Mara, what does Mara mean?
Bitter.
Bitter. Why don't they have water? Because it's bitter. And in Rephidim, why don't they have water? Because there's no water. So Moshe strikes a rock, which God tells him to do, and water comes out. Okay. Really, it's one of my favorite debates on this week's parasha. Wow, you're so efficient. Enter your email address. But you're going to get an email that says confirm. If you don't confirm, you're not going to be confirmed. You have to confirm. Anyone else? We could just pass the phone around. I'm joking. Okay, ready? After Kriyas Yamsuf, immediately after, they just left the water of the Sea of Reeds. They go into the wilderness. They walk for 3 days, and they didn't find water. So the sage is saying, Medrash Tanchuma, by the way, on this passage, 3 days without water. Ein Maim, says the Gemara, Allah?
Torah.
Water is only Torah. So they walked for 3 days without Torah. So here is when Moshe instituted we shouldn't go more than 3 days without Kriyas Torah. So we lay on Shabbos, then we lay on Monday, then we lay on Thursday, then we lay on Shabbos. We should not go for 3 days without having water. Why? Because when they had no water, they can't drink the water, they become bitter. Here we go. Vayavo Marasa. and they come to Mara. Velo yachlu lishtos mayim mimara. They can't drink the water from Mara. Ki marim heim, for they are bitter. Al kain karoshimo Mara. Therefore, they call its name Mara. They complain. Rav Salvechik says, vayolunu, vayolinu. The whole time they're murmuring, they're complaining. The minute they leave Egypt, rather we would have died in Egypt. What are we going to drink? And they scream out to God. Hashem throws, and Hashem shows him a tree. He throws it into the water. Ooh, I just thought something nice. I never thought of it in my life.
It's kind of
me. Very nice. That's exactly what I was thinking. What do you mean he threw in a tree into the water? We already said Medrash Tanchuma says they have no water for 3 days, so they're going, you know, they're losing it. Also, the Medrash says you shouldn't go more than 3 days without Torah. So therefore, Moshe said at least Shabbos lane, Monday, Thursday, never go more than 3 days. What makes the water, the bitterness sweet? Eitz, a tree. Eitz Chayim Hi. Not only is Torah called water, but Torah is also called a tree of life. So Moshe throws the tree in. Beautiful. And the waters become sweet. And how do we know he threw Torah in? Hashem sam lechok u'mishva. Wow. V'sham niso. There he gave them chok, one kind of mitzvah, u'mishva, another kind of mitzvah. And Rashi says there he gave them three mitzvos before they even came to Matan Torah and Parshas Yisrael. By the way, please forgive me. This was mamash not even not prepared. No, you shouldn't forgive me. You should just. I remember Dove told me, my brother told me in the beginning, when I was first starting, he's a rabbi, and he told me, if you prepare and you don't get to what you prepared, it's okay. If something goes off on a tangent, you know, if you're learning and doing something else, you shouldn't be nervous if you didn't get to what you planned. What did they get in Mara? Natan lahem miktas parashio shel Torah. They did get a few mitzvos of Torah that they should be busy with. Which mitzvos? Shabbos. They were told Shabbos in Mara. Para aduma, the red heifer,
heifer.
Red cow, v'dinin, and monetary laws. So now that's proof that eitz chayim hila machazikim, but what made the water sweet? The eitz, the tree of Torah. You with me? The waters are bitter. Why is it bitter? Because they don't have Torah. So what does Moses do? He throws in a tree. What does the tree represent? I'm going to give you some Torah. When you have Torah, you are sweet. What did they get? Paraduma, red heifer, Shabbos, and dinin, monetary laws. Listen to this pasuk again. Okay, so the prelude to Parshas Yisro is Torah, Mara. And it says a pasuk we say in Kriya Shema, Shema Tishma, okay, doesn't matter. Vayavu Marasa, velo yachu lishtos mayim. They came to Mara, they could not drink the water, Mimara, Kimarim Heim. What does Kimarim Heim mean?
They were bitter.
What are you talking about?
The people.
Where the water is bitter? Were the people bitter? Medrash Tanhuma Yashan in Parshas Vayakal says, you'll still meet it tomorrow. Lo yachlu lishtos mayim mimara ki marim heim, the generation was bitter. Why was the water bitter? Because they were bitter. Everything depends on the person. Because they were bitter, they could not tolerate the bitter water. It was their attitude that was bitter, so therefore the water is bitter. Let me ask you, if you go for 3 days and you don't have water, so you might think you're going to die of thirst, and you find water, so are you going to say, oh, it's a little bitter? Or are you going to say, shahakol nehi abidvaro, I'm not going to die of thirst. Thank God there's water. You're going to say, oh, I don't like it so much. Can we put it in Olahavdil, the crystallite bags? What do you say? You just found water. You're not going to die. What's Kimarim Heim, says the Medrash? They were bitter. The people were bitter. And I read this many, many years ago in the biography, actually, of Nechama Leibovitz. Nechama Leibovitz. I'm not sure you pronounce her as Leibovitz. Leibovitz. Probably in Israel.
I think it's
the
Leibovitz. Yeah, I think.
Hmm?
It's Leibovitz, actually.
I think it's Leibovitz, but I think in Israel, it doesn't matter. Okay. So she brings down this var, and since I read it in the biography / learned that she's quoting the Medrash, it has made such an impact on me every time we get to Parshas Shach and other times as well. Well, Yachlush dos hamayim mimar ki marim heim, they were bitter, and so the water was bitter. And I was thinking to myself, the water reflects. If you go stand in a pool of water, you're going to see a reflection. So it's godless. What was the water reflecting? Who the people were. They were bitter people, so the water reflected bitterness. And then she tells a story to illustrate her point. Yeah.
I was going to say, you can also, allegorically, Torah is compared to water. They weren't able, maybe they, like, sometimes people have issues with things in the Torah, and it's not a reflection on the Torah, it's a reflection on the person.
Very nice.
So.
Very nice. She tells a beautiful story to illustrate her point. And the story she tells to illustrate her point is that it was the week before Pesach, and she went to the post office to collect a package. And she writes, there are still post offices in Jerusalem, only manned by one clerk, and there was a lineup. And the government was giving out the pensioners their monthly stipend. They arranged, instead of giving out at the beginning of the month, they were giving out closer to Pesach so that the elderly should have what they need. It was like out of consideration for the elderly that they handed out. So the first man goes up, the man in front of her, two people in front of her goes up, and they say, can I have your ID card? And the man starts barking, my ID card, such a bureaucracy, you don't care about the people. He's barking at the clerk, all you want is the ID card. I just came to get the money, the pension. So the clerk says, I'm sorry, do you happen to know the identification number? You know, just the number. He says, my number, look at this state, the only answer is to emigrate from this terrible place, such stress. And he stormed out of the post office. The next woman to step up was an elderly woman. Serenely, Nechama Leibowitz writes, she handed over her identity card. Calmly, she signed the papers. Graciously, she thanked the clerk. And then she was looking around after he gives her the money. She was looking around for something on the counter. Talking about it only in Israel moment. And the clerk said, what are you looking for? And she says, where's the charity box? Charity box. So he gave her the charity box. And she put a tenth of what her check was into the tzedakah box. And she said to him, you should put it in the front because someone might forget to give their meiser otherwise. And then with a million thanks, writes Nechama Leibowitz, she left the post office. And this is the story she tells when she relates this verse. Everything depends on the person. What is our attitude and the water? Just like water reflects, so too in this instance it became bitter because the people were bitter. Okay. So that's, thank you for listening. It's the first place I share this week. I really love it. Probably with the snowstorm coming, the last place I'm going to share it this week. Okay, but I told you I'm going to quote from Rabbi Machlas. Or maybe the snowstorm won't come. Rabbi Machlas, Parshas Peshach. Okay, so we're sort of having Parsha Amuna. We spoke about Mir Manavia and the Bitachon. We spoke about the Mayim and the Mara. Does anyone want a refund? I'm just joking. You're supposed to say no. You want to just go to the Sefer?
No, finish.
Okay. Okay. Parshas Peshach. So I was very excited when Jonathan Friedman, I think now he lives in Yerushalayim, the old city, goes by Yonatan, sent this to me. The weekly section, and I'm calling Rabbi Machlas, I printed it up, includes a description of the heavenly food that the Jewish people received as a blessing from heaven. And what is it called? Manna. By the way, I was thinking something because I'm relating and tying this into Amunah, right? We're really in the first sentence on page 47. So I was thinking about something. It's called man, which is mem nun. When you look at the word Amunah, the first three, you said before, Amen, and I said, Kel Melechna Aman, the faithful God who is Kel Melech, the king who is faithful, and Kel Melechna Aman. If you look at the first three letters of Amunah, it's Aleph, Mem, Nun. So if you look at Man as a facet of our Amunah, it's bread of Amunah. We had to believe it was coming every single day. There was no refrigerator, and you didn't stock up for tomorrow. So Amen is Hashem, the Aleph of Anochi, and then Mem, Nun. In the word Amunah, you have an allusion to the Man. Why? Because the Man is the bread of Amunah. Because you went to bed with not knowing what you were going to eat tomorrow. And that's really what Rabbi Machlas talks about. He doesn't point that out about the Aleph Mem Nun, but he speaks about the fact that the man came every day new. One of the most intriguing aspects of the man was that it was a daily occurrence. Each and every day, besides for Shabbos, the man fell. They had to gather v'lak to Dvar Yom B'Yom. They had to gather every single day. You cannot put a man from one day to the next, writes Rabbi Machlas. There was a prohibition. You couldn't even leave any man over to the next day, even if you wanted to. It would become wormy. It would become infested. It would rot overnight. So even if you tried to save it when you woke up in the morning, you're not going to have anything. So the question is, wouldn't it have just been more convenient to have a weekly showering of man? Like, they didn't need fridges. If Hashem wanted to make it last for a week, what? He couldn't give them a weekly portion at a time. It would have lasted for a week. Why every single day? So the Rabbanim, he quotes Maseches Yoma 76a, the students, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, asked their Rabbi, This is the Gemara. Why did Hashem insist on bringing them man every day? Give them a weekly supply of man. Give them a yearly supply of man. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai answered his students with a parable. This can be compared to a human king who has one particular child. He's going to give him an allowance every day of the year. So on that one day of the year, I'm picking January 1st, the son gets his $50,000 for the year. So what do you think he's going to do every day a year on January 1st? What's he going to do on January 1st? Father, I love you. Let's go out for supper. What can I do for you? He gets his $50,000. He goes to the next country. And what's he going to do in the interim? Maybe send a letter home to father. He's going to go visit him. I don't need you. You gave me your $50,000 or money in my own country. Thank you very, very much. And then he puts in parentheses, I once met a woman when I lived in New York. She told me while she was crying, Rabbi Machas, right, she had two children. They don't visit her except for once a year on a certain holiday when she gives them gifts. By the way, I don't know if he's referring to a Jewish holiday or otherwise, because the Machases were known for having anyone in their home. Never mind Jewish observant or secular, they had non-Jews as well. So this woman's children come visit her on the holiday because she gives them presents. So I told her, maybe you should give them more gifts on more holidays. So it's obviously a little bit of sarcasm. They will visit you more often. The king realized the son's coming once a year. He changed his annual allowance to every single day. What happened? The son shows up every single day because he wants his allowance. He doesn't have, he has $10. So tomorrow I need another $10. By the way, he gives an interesting Mr. Haska. Maybe it's relevant for some of us. I have two types of great teachers on overseas programs. One type of student, he's talking about the parents who are teachers, has a parent who gives them an open credit card. The child goes to study abroad. They use it as often as they want. It's unlimited. If you have a credit card without any restrictions, the only time you have to speak to the person who gave you the credit card is when they give it to you. I have another type of teacher. Stach student. Those parents study the passage in the Torah, he says, regarding the man and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And I've often heard those kids saying, hi, mom, shalom, Abba. Perhaps, how are you after the niceties? Could you send me a little bit more money? I used up the last one. Thank you. I love you. Keep them connected. It's interesting. For me, given that my son is currently in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai continues with his explanation to the students. So with the case of the Jewish people. Perhaps the man will not fall tomorrow. They'll worry. We'll die of starvation. However, there's no grocery stores. There's no food outlets in the desert. How am I going to feed my family? So what do the Jewish people do? Every day, they were forced to connect to God. As Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, as a result of all this worry, he's going back to quoting the Gemara, the Jewish people would constantly direct their hearts to their Father in heaven. It keeps you connected. Not having, worrying about where it's coming from, actually strengthens your emunah when you connect to the Rebbe, when you talk to the Almighty, when you see that every day he's providing for me, but every day I need to turn to him. The man served as a stimulus for a close relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. If they would have had an annual supply, theoretically, they would have forgotten about God until the following year. And therefore, one of the messages of the man is a daily connection, a reliance upon God's blessings. Okay, I'm skipping. 1 second, please. Oh, it's very interesting, the next thing he says. The Rambam teaches is in his commentary in Pirkei Avos. We'll finish with this final thought. The Rambam teaches in his commentary in Pirkei Avos. Ready? Even though in math, 1,000 times 1 is equal to 1 times 1,000, right? In math, 1,000 times 1 is the same as 1 times 1,000. The Rambam, Maimonides, nevertheless teaches it could be a greater act of charity, ready, to give $1 to 1,000 people than $1,000 to one person. Now, you're giving out $1,000, so what's the difference?
You're acting many more times, and the way you act has an impact on...
Very nice, beautiful. You're giving, in both cases, you're giving out the same amount of money. But in the former case, you're giving 1,000 people a dollar. You gave 1,000 times, you gave tzedakah 1,000 times. And Avigail just said beautifully, that impacts you. The Medrash I recently saw in my preparation for one of my shiurim, Yoser mi bal habayis osela ani ha'ani osela bal habayis, more than what the pauper, than what the bal habayis, the, help me. The homeowner, the host, what did you say? I didn't hear.
The host.
More than what the host does for the poor person, you think you did such a nice thing by serving someone a meal. The poor person does for the host. The act of giving changes you. So if you give once, you're not going to be the same person as if you gave 1,000 times. It's a different quality. You give and you give and you give and you give. It's one simple act of charity versus 1,000 acts of charities. And why is it so important to give to 1,000 people? He adds a different dimension. Each of those 1,000 people is connecting to God through a broken heart. You now have some connection to the Ribono Shel Olam through that person. If that person turns to Hashem and cries from his broken heart, Yikra'eini, they will call to me, Ve'eneu, I will answer him. Ima Anochi Batzar, that's exactly the pasuk Rashi quotes by the snare. We spoke about the snare. I'm with that pauper in his distress. If 1,000 people cry to God, and you enable 1,000 people to have an extra dollar, you, says Rabbi Machas, are connecting, based on this teaching of the Rambam, with Hashem through those 1,000 people. And that, he says, is the message of the man. You want to feel connected? And isn't that what our sentence today is? Our work in Amunah is the clear recognition there is a creator who is bound with our souls. You want to be bound up with the Ribono Shel Olam, and he is the source of your holiness. Look for the maximum way to connect to God. Don't give to one person, give to 1,000 people. Don't stock up food for 20 weeks, have food for tomorrow. Know that tomorrow Hashem will provide for you. If you want to feel a certain level of togetherness, look at the message of the man. Prayer, he says, is not just because we need things. Prayer is available to create an association with Hashem. And he finishes, he says, I hope every single person is blessed with his or her portion of man each and every single day. But more than that, amen, that's correct, to appreciate the great closeness that God creates through the gift of man. So I thought it was fascinating, if we look at man through the lens of Emunah, that the first three letters are amen, which you just said, which we say so many times, Aleph of Anochi, the Mem and the Nun of the man. Hashem puts his stamp, so to speak, on the man. Before I finish with the Birkas Hadyot, does anyone have any questions or comments? So we did speak a lot about Emunah. We spoke about Avraham Avinu's Emunah. He couldn't see the stars, but he believed. We spoke about the bitachon of the woman. I remember we spoke about the bitachon of the woman and Miriam Hanavia. We spoke about Mara. It depends on our attitude and our outlook. The Noam Ali Melech of the Zinc says, Tein b'libeinu sh'nira kol echad ma'alos chavarenu v'lo chesronam. And what does he say next? V'nishenidaber kol echad as chavirin b'darcha yashar v'ratzui l'fenecha. After he says, allow us to see the good, we should speak pleasantly and in the proper way. We started off with Kol HaDibur and Achdus, and we ended with perceiving through our Emunah the hand of Hashem in everything we have. And even though, yes, our refrigerators and our freezers and our homes and our cupboards have more than just for one day, we could still have the attitude of the man and the connection of the man, which is every day turn to Hashem and daven to him to sustain us each and every day. Yes. No. Any questions or comments, please? Okay, thank you all very much. Be'ezros Hashem, we will continue next week.
Thank you. Micha?